Hey, listen, if you guys think showbiz is hard, you ought to try this LinkedIn.
AM, Hooli's Hooli, WSBC. Tonight's presenting sponsor is McCann's Irish Oatmeal.
Yeah.
How about that? We can cut to a little spot. We record a little McCann's Irish Oatmeal. We'll talk about that in a minute.
Yeah, absolutely. Special thanks to all the people at McCann's Irish Oatmeal. I'd say his name and who our sponsor is behind it, but...
Why not?
Well, special thanks to Brian Galvin. He works for McCann's Irish Oatmeal.
That's right. He's a loyal listener. Now McCann's has decided to come on board and help out the Hooli's Hooli and spread the word of the world's greatest oatmeal. I had some, too.
Oh, yeah.
It's very good. Comes in a variety of flavors. He called me last week to pick up the swag.
Yeah.
That we're going to be giving out to our guests. Want to remind everybody, some of our listeners are probably going, hey, how come they're not at Fitzgerald's?
Well, right.
We're taking a little breather. We're back in the studio with Mike. Mike, the engineer, is with us. He's sporting a new look. He's got a buzzed head right now.
Yeah.
But that's something that the first... I'm excited to be back in the studio.
So am I.
Bill and Kay Fitzgerald have been wonderful to us. We're going to take a little breather from there for a while.
Yeah.
They're going to rev up and have some shows this fall. So then we're going to go out... It brings a different dynamic when we come back into the studio away from the live audience at Fitzgerald's. And it's refreshing of sorts, you know, because the show becomes a roving kind of thing where all of a sudden we have the ability to kind of do this anywhere, which is, I guess, be brothers and rap for about an hour, which is nice. So it's cool to be back in the studio. We'll be back with Mike here, and we're having a great time. I see do you have your Chicago sports gear on tonight?
You know, I knew you were going to make fun of me this Friday. It's not planned. I mean, now I'm started looking and thinking about
socks,
the other day.
Bears. You have a Sox hat and a Bears hoodie on.
Well, it's the fall. I actually purchased this Bears hoodie at Walmart today for $22.
It's very nice.
Not bad. I'll take it.
It's at Walmart right now because the Bears are 3-1. It'll be at
3-1.
I'm sorry, 1-3.
Yeah.
Pardon
okay.
me.
Yeah.
But yeah,
they stink.
They do stink.
You're probably getting that. I think I got this for $24. You probably get it for $12 in 3 weeks.
Yep. Yep.
Once they just start completely bombing.
Yeah, imploding. Well, I got news for you. The Bears of the Major League Baseball League are in the midst of something magical that could be happening. Now, for our listeners, this is Thursday night. We have no word. We record on Thursdays before our listeners get
this. Oh, well, this is Wednesday night, actually, my friend.
You're right. Normally it's Thursday night.
Yeah.
I'm lost in all the
Remember
Cubs
when
hoopla.
when we would do the show at Fitzgerald's, it was Thursday nights, but when we would come to the studio, we always did it on Wednesday nights.
That's right.
So we're back on Wednesday night.
Yeah, hump day, man.
Hump day. Yeah.
So let's
Thank God.
You know, I guess as a White Sox fan, I got to admit I'm rooting for the Cubs to make a push here.
I am too, you know. I mean, I was talking to my girlfriend about it.
Now we don't even know if they've won yet. See, this is going to air on Saturday, and if they lose, it's our fault. We're the Bartmans, I guess. But on another note, then the show gets famous.
Yeah, hey, I'll take the Bartman. Fine. You want to call me the Bartman for Jake?
Everyone will hate us, but some people already do. We already have Hooli haters. They've been in existence for
years.
You
know, I was looking on the, obviously we're following the game right now on the GameCast on the internet. And, you know, right before we started the show, you know, it was like, I said, looks like they're going to do this. And it was like, our engineer's a Cub fan, so he's looking over at me like, don't. Jinx.
I kid. The first thing I came in when I saw Mike, other than his new midnight oil look, was, hey, are you watching the Cubs game? And he was like, no. And I was like, oh, you know, I don't care about sports either. And he was like, no, I'm a Cub fan. I can't watch it. It'll kill me. And
right.
I was like, oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I was bonding with Mike over the shaved head thing because I'm real close to doing it myself.
Yeah.
And I guess I could start, rather than tell people I'm going bald, I'd be like, you know, I'm doing for the Cubs. You know, it's
shaving your head for the Cubs.
Yeah.
All the superstition.
Only some guy in Chicago could pull that off. You know, why'd you shave your head? I did it for the Cubs. Well, that doesn't make any sense, sir. I know.
Would you get a? You know, I see all these crazy fans. Would you ever get like a tattoo? Everyone's get. They had a. I think it was.
A where Cubs did
I
see tattoo?
This? I saw this woman. She like I don't know. I think it was a trailer for TBS, maybe the playoffs or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like this woman in Chicago, and she was getting like the the ivy of Wrigley Field like tattooed up the side of her arm, and then like on her shoulder blade.
Yeah.
It was the W flag like flying.
Yeah.
And I was like,
for life.
For life. You all know. Right. And I was like, okay, all right.
Yeah, I know. Those are
could
things.
Could you find yourself? I mean, like, could you honestly sit there and go, well, I'm going to go get, you know, a...
This is a body art discussion. This isn't a sports discussion.
No, I know.
This is turning into a thing. People go, you anti-tattoo?
I'm not anti-tattoo. Yeah. I'm one of those guys, I think, that if I got a tattoo, it would have to have serious significance.
And some meaning to it, yeah.
Yeah. Other than, like... rooting for a couple guys that play professional baseball, play a kid's game and make millions of dollars, and I'm hustling my butt off, and they could give two craps about me maybe if I met them in person.
I guess you're right. I mean, I suppose getting a Cubs tattoo or a Sox tattoo or something at some point, you could probably... I remember when I was a kid, I'd see, like, those guys on the beach, you know?
Yeah.
And the guy would have, like, a Tasmanian devil tattoo or something, you know, from Looney Tunes.
Yeah.
I'd be like, man, what's that guy going to tell his kid someday, you know, when he's, like, 60? Or, like, not even, like, when he's, like, 40 or, you know, and the kid's like, why is that thing? He's like... That was a cartoon that I loved when I was like six. It was a guy who just blitzed out. He went crazy.
Why are you making him an ethnicity now? Why can't it just be a white guy that said, hey, I love the Tasmanian devil?
Are you trying to say that there aren't white guys who talk like this? There's white guys who talk like this.
Maybe. I don't know. Or possibly.
Hey, tonight's presenting sponsor is McCann's Irish Oatmeal. The Hooli's Hooli will return after these messages.
McCann's Irish Oatmeal. We've been warming the hearts, minds, and souls of the most discriminating oatmeal lovers for over 150 years. From the family farm to your table, enjoy the whole grain goodness of McCann's Irish Oatmeal today, available at your local grocery store.
Putting your future in the hands of a lawyer can get personal, particularly in personal injury cases. You've got one shot at justice, so you're going to want a guy who thinks like you. Tom Gorman is Southside Irish all the way. He grew up in Holy Redeemer Parish, went to Brother Rice, and yeah, he got a ride to play ball at Notre Dame, played on the undefeated 1988 National Championship football team. After a shoulder injury ended his career, Tom stayed on with the Fighting Irish for his master's and law degree. Tom won the American Jurisprudence Award for trial advocacy at Notre Dame Law School, and he's been a trial lawyer ever since. Tom's practice is devoted exclusively to personal injury and wrongful death. Sure, he's won $1 million verdicts for his clients, but his focus remains on those families and their futures. Tom and his wife, Christine, have lived in Beverly for almost 20 years, and they're raising their five kids in Christ the King Parish, Brother Rice, Mother McCauley, and their oldest son is now at ND as well. Lots of folks have to deal with tragedy. It's good to know there's a guy out there you can count on who'll be in your corner to protect your family. You can call Tom Gorman directly at 312-345-7210 and tell him about your situation. Or go to the website, www.gormantriallaw.com. He's a good guy. There's no charge for the consultation, and you'll meet a new friend that's ready to fight for you and your family. Call Tom Gorman today at 312-345-7210 and tell him your story.
And we're back, 12:40 a.m. WSBC, the Hooli's Hooli.
Yeah, live in the studio, back in the studio. Hope everybody's having a great Saturday night out there. I know Michelle McInerney, our pal who's been on the show, she's kind of our music advisor in some situations.
Yeah, she follows all the
young Irish groups.
Yeah.
And there is a group. We wanted to get them on the show at some point. We couldn't pull it off this weekend, but she tells me that this band was excited to perhaps connect with us and wanted us to get the word out.
Oh, great.
They'll be at the Elbow Room on Saturday night, and it's at 9 p.m. They're called New Secret Weapon.
Ooh, I like the name of that band.
Coming live from Ireland. I do like the name of that band. I'd be interested in seeing what they sound like. Perhaps when we go to the next commercial break, I'll try to dig some of that up if it's on the internet. But you can see new Secret Weapon at 9 p.m. Saturday at the Elbow Room. Want to thank Donnie Biggins last episode.
Yeah, Harmonica Dunn himself.
Pretty awesome to have him on the program. He's an old pal. He wonderful songs that he played for us. I'm excited for his new album to come out, his first solo effort. I think I could show, you know, we could probably play some Shams Band stuff on the show tonight. I might do that.
They're going to play that event for Brendan O'Connor October 23rd, Friday at the Carlton Hotel.
Yeah, exactly. The Shams will be there, so you guys should all come out. I believe it's safe. It's like $40, right?
I think it's $50.
All right. Regardless, yeah. Price shouldn't stop you from coming
but
out and helping Brendan.
It's, food and drink and three bands, live music all night long. So yeah, that's definitely a
and the Hooley Brothers will probably be attending.
Actually, I will not be. Oh, well,
you're not
Tenor
Bar for that?
I don't think I will be there that night. I think you might be working that night, but I won't be there that night. I think I'll probably be at Club Duffy's.
Oh, well,
if possible.
We'll come by and join you at Club Duffy's.
Yeah.
When we previously before the break, we were talking about getting perhaps a sports tattoo.
Yeah.
We were talking about Mike the Engineer when he was offline. He was like, I see where you guys are coming from. Because I don't think I could ever love anything in my life enough to have it on my body when I was like 80 to look at it and be like, I'm so glad that's there. I love the Beatles, and I still, I still can't commit to the idea that I will love them 10 years from now. I know who does love the Beatles, though.
Who's that?
Phil Angotti,
yes,
who's been on the program a bunch of times. I wanted to thank a lot of the music acts that had played with us at Fitzgerald's. Hopefully we can reconnect with those guys when we get back to Fitzgerald's at some point.
Absolutely.
And then as we rove as roving entertainers, because showbiz is hard. You got to get on LinkedIn,
Let's talk about the LinkedIn rip. What was that? Or the riff or whatever you were talking at the top of the show with the cold open.
I don't know why, but like social media and network is like becoming funnier and funnier to me for some reason, perhaps as I've entered the professional world of sorts. Professional business world, also known as a real job.
You find it like, now
you know what's weird though? You finally got a real job, huh? People say that. I go, what's a real job? Like, because I wear a suit or a tie to work every day, now it's a real job. Uh-huh. You know, like, it's like Kevin Arnold's dad on The Wonder Years. I guess he had a real job, you know? He was like disgruntled and had short sleeve shirts and a tie. He's a hardworking real job guy.
Yeah.
But I do get like my LinkedIn, I guess now that I have this real job, this kind of desk jockey job,
I should update my LinkedIn profile because I don't have any of my, like,
my name is Bill. I live in River Forest. The end.
Some people actually do that kind of stuff on LinkedIn, like a professional smiley face.
Yes.
Like, I've seen people put kind of stuff, like, just to mess with people.
Right. Professional Sox fan. He's a bartender from, Summit.
Yeah. But you know what I've noticed about social media now? I mean, when Facebook first came out, you were just, I'll join. And it was, you can peruse and maybe if you want to put a status update or something. I rarely put status updates.
I'm just there to be a creep. No, they call that Facebook creeping.
I think it's turned into, when you think about it, you're going, is social media now, because I look at it and I'm going, this seems like, when you're filling out your profiles for LinkedIn, everything, you could link it up with everything else and it's work.
Yeah. Well, it's
and
all,
it's like, I didn't, I mean, I get it, but I'm like, I get some people, it's all about connecting in the social media, but I don't know. I guess I'm lazy.
Well, the one thing about it is, like, in the showbiz space, like, LinkedIn is not something that's going to like ever work in your favor, like, hey, how'd you land the Tonight Show? We LinkedIn, man. I was all over that LinkedIn like 10 years ago. I tell you, it worked out, and I got the call.
Conan
and
finally noticed me.
Yeah, William Morris Endeavor signed me right off of LinkedIn. they liked my page, and they were like, dude, this guy's gold, and we got to go for it.
How'd you get your contract? They saw my Facebook page and my LinkedIn. And the funny thing was is that, I think I read an article about Mark Cuban actually talking about social media.
Yes, I've seen
about
this.
How people should probably be a little bit weary of it when the fact that, when you're doing that stuff and you're really updating the LinkedIn profile and you're, all over Facebook or whatever, that, what pretty
like
much...
Like a tattoo, it kind of stays there for life?
Well, because it's on the internet...
It's got internet life.
Well, because these major corporations and companies can do now is it builds them a psychological, you know, like it builds them a profile of the people that they're interested in and the people that would never, you know, they can look at this stuff before they even bring
it. Yeah, from a marketing standpoint, they could be like, look at this guy. He's given us everything we need. We're just glob onto that profile and now we'll ride that wave.
Or, you know, it also is, you know, I mean, you're depending on what you would, could have ever posted or ever said on social media, I mean, that could come back to haunt you.
Mm-hmm.
And for a job that you perfectly are qualified for, and they might say, no, absolutely not. You're not fitting there, you know.
Right.
Because it's all just, I don't know, it's Big Brother.
Yeah, it's like voluntary Big Brother.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess you're right in some aspects, but it is fun.
It is fun, yeah.
But we were talking about, you know, the great thing about social media, though, is that it allowed us to find a lot of the bands that have been on our program.
No question about it, absolutely.
And I do want to play somebody who I enjoyed quite frequently on our program. That's Phil Engotti. He's a huge Beatle fan because we were talking about the Beatles earlier. He reminded me maybe we'll play a little Phil Engotti.
Yeah.
So this is one that I enjoyed. This is off of his album Life in Rhymes, all right? And it's called Life in Rhymes, and it's Phil Engotti.
I always imagined a life worth living. I never pictured the worst. I always believed that a song worth singing would have some magical verse,
some magical
a chorus verse to make your heart burst. Oh yeah. I still think I'm right. It keeps me up at night. My life in rhyme.
Yeah, that's Phil Engotti doing Life in Rhymes off of Life in Rhymes. How about that? Phil Engotti, man. Hey, if you're a Phil Angotti fan, you should go to Avenue N Guitars. That's his spot out in Wicker Park. He's got a vintage guitar store. Doesn't have to be vintage. He's got great guitars all around. And he's one of my favorite local Chicago artists.
Hey, as we're listening right now.
Yeah.
The Chicago Cubs have advanced.
They have.
To the divisional playoffs.
Yes.
Congratulations to the Chicago Cubs.
And to Joe Madden, an Irishman.
Joe Madden, Tom Ricketts, the whole Cubs organization.
We got to keep it Irish, right?
Boy, we were just sitting here, and obviously the listeners will probably, by the time you hear this show on Saturday night, for you guys out there right now, it'll be probably game two will be either tonight or Sunday of the NLDS.
Yeah.
Against St. Louis. But this is your congratulations from us.
Yes.
To lifelong White Sox fans, I can tip my hat to the Cubs organization. You know, I got to be honest.
Yes.
We were just sitting here and we heard this big boom in the studio and... It started.
I thought it was a gunshot for a minute there.
Yeah, I thought maybe my car exploded or something.
Or somebody hit my car in front of the studio.
Well, I thought, what happened? You know, I didn't get an oil change last week. Did it blow up? I don't know. Who knows?
Yeah.
But it's starting. Pandemonium. It was an M80 that had just been thrown out someone's window or something.
And Mike, the engineer, goes, "Holy cow, what was that?"
Yeah.
And jumped out of the seat. He goes, "I don't know if I should go out there." He goes out there, and I follow him out there, and... smoke everywhere, and then I go, "Oh, it's an M80. Somebody threw an M80 out the window because the Cubs won." You know, because that's what I always want to do when people win baseball games. I always want to go, "Hey, you know what? I'm gonna go throw M80 out the window."
Do you think that if the Cubs now, you know, hypothetically speaking, if they do go all the way, I mean, what's gonna happen? Is it gonna be, you know, when the Sox won it? I get it.
But yeah.
I know people want to say this is a Cubs town. It probably is more of a Cubs town.
Yeah, I mean, because it's that's the part of the tourism in Chicago is, I remember, Perfect Strangers, Belky was at a Cubs game in the opening credits, you know what I mean? So people have always, noticed the Cubs about Chicago. Nobody was ever talking about the Sox in Hollywood, that's for sure.
No.
So, yeah, they're kind of Hollywood's team. And
I mean, is it going to be insanity? Is it going to be like what it was like when the Bears won the Super Bowl? Or like,
there's going to be a lot of guys that you see crying, talking about the Cubbies.
Which is,
and they're going to have seersucker shorts on. And
really?
Brooks' brother popped collars, too, I'm sure. That's a little dick at the Cubs. I don't know. My daughter told me the other day that she's six. Nobody in the family is a Cubs fan. That she is a Cub fan.
She's a Cub fan.
She likes the Cubs and she wants to root for the Cubs. Yeah. So I'm happy for her. This is the season of Charlotte and the Cubs. For her joy, I gotta admit, people are gonna hate me for it. But I'm kind of rooting for the Cubs.
I'm rooting for them too.
You know why? Because as a bartender, great for revenue, man.
Absolutely,
they're gonna put them in the seats.
And because as a Sox fan, I had my joy in 2005, and I would actually enjoy for some of my friends that are all Cub fans to have that same feeling, because it's unbelievable. It's a special thing to.
We bring that up, where I went to lunch today, Zach Dillman, who works in the office.
I saw this. You got tagged at there,
I said, "Come on, you want to go to the Merchandise Mart and get a hamburger?" He goes, "Sure." And he goes, "Where are we going?" And then when we got in there, I go, "We're going to the Billy Goat."
My favorite spot.
He's got
a
Cub shirt. He goes, "Come on, man, really?" I go, "Come on, it's a great burger." He goes, "All right." So we checked in there, and we were talking to the guys at the Billy Goat about the Cubs. I go, "What do you think's going to happen?" And the guy, of course, behind the gun, he's like, "I'm a Sox fan. I mean, I don't understand. You know, it's a one-game playoff, and they're acting like they're in the World Series already, you know?"
Oh, boy. Yeah.
I go, And Dillman goes, "Hey, if the Cubs win the World Series," the guy goes, "Yeah." He goes, "Can we cook a goat?"
Wow. Yeah, what he said.
The guy was like, "We can cook anything here, man."
Right.
It's the Billy Goat, you know? Have you ever had goat?
No.
Goat cheese. I didn't know. You could probably eat goat meat.
Of course you could.
That's a good scam right there. Greek town for the Cubs. We got goat meat.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. That might put people at bay. That might subdue them after the game. How come you guys aren't going as crazy as normal? Well, we had a lot of goat meat.
Yeah.
Pretty
incredible, though, when you think about the Cubs. I mean, with the three rookies and everything those guys did this year, I mean, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
I was looking at the stats of these guys. I mean... You know, Bryant guy, I mean, he hit 29 homers and he had 99 RBIs. And then you got Rizzo, he hit 31 homers and 102 RBIs.
Schwarber.
Schwarber has, now if you counted tonight, he hit 17 homers and like 50 or 60 something RBIs. And then you have Russell.
Yeah.
He had like 19 homers and like, I think he batted over 270 and had like another like 60 RBIs. Those are incredible numbers for guys that like, you know, I said to Bridget, I go, these guys are going to be good for a long time.
Yeah. Well, now if they do win the World Series and they are lucky enough and, you know, destiny happens for them of some nature. You got to think, is this a team that gets to stick around? Did they peak too early? Or are they all going to go for big paydays and then the whole thing just goes?
Poof. Well, here's the thing about it. You know, I mean, and I, what people don't realize is the Cubs have the, you know, they have the same amount of money as the New York Yankees. They just didn't.
If not more.
So if you look about the what the Yankees did in the late 90s to the early 2000s when they were winning all those World Series and they had the Mariano Riveras, the Derek Jeter, you know, the Bernie, you know, what's his name?
Bernie Williams.
I mean, like, all those guys came into the league around the same time as each other.
Yeah.
And
core.
It was a core, and all they had to do was build around those guys, and they could spend as much money as they wanted every year as long as they had those four guys and win it. And here's the thing about the Cubs. They have it. They have that kind of money, and now they have the pieces in place. They can actually – I'm not going to say dynasty yet, but, I mean, they could do what the Blackhawks have done, you know, when you think about Kane, Taves, and Hossa and all that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be pretty incredible. It's going to be a while before that happens on the south side, though, I think.
Dude, they got Robin back for another year.
Oh, my gosh.
I can't even believe.
What the, you know?
I mean, I like Rockin' Robin, but not as a manager anymore. It's like, come on, man. This is crazy. Reinsdorf is so loyal to his guys, though.
Would you take Ozzie back? Would you like to have him back?
No. No. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I mean, he's colorful, you know. I mean, is Ozzie going to become the Billy Martin of the White Sox,
hey,
where like he gets fired and fired by Steinbrenner and comes back?
Hey, you
and
know
wins.
What? I'll tell you what. If they're going to stink, I need something to entertain me.
you need to watch him yell and scream.
I mean, Robin doesn't do anything.
Yeah.
He just stands there in the dugout. I think what he, you know, I mean, I've never seen him get that acclimated. I mean, he's been thrown out of a couple of games. Sure, all managers do, but
yeah,
they stunk this year. And they spent a lot of money in free agency. Mm-hmm. Somebody's got to have to get fired. And I know that they fired that bench coach, but it's
White
not
Sox announced Hawk Harrelson will be leaving.
He is leaving the
booth. Microphone.
He is leaving
to
the
become
booth.
The new manager.
No,
of Chicago
no,
White
he's
Sox.
Not doing that. Come on, he ruined the team in '86 when he was the GM.
Fired Tony La Russa.
One of the biggest mistakes in baseball history, as far as I'm concerned. But
anyway, Ted Williams would have done it. Let me tell you, Ted and I were great friends. Let's talk about that. Okay, no. Hawkster.
Well, Drysdale and him, they were good buddies.
Yeah.
Because they called the games together. But, you know, the funny thing is, you said it is Hawk not coming back. Hawk's taking a little break. He's only going to do 82 games next year.
And who's going to come in? DJ?
I don't know who's coming in.
DJ.
I don't know who's coming in. I'm sure Stoney is probably a little pleased because I heard the dynamic between Hawk and Stone was kind of on rough waters over the last couple years.
Who are the new voices of baseball? The Jack Bucks and the sort of, you know what I mean? Like the old, the Mel Allens of... Those guys are such a gone era, you know.
I don't necessarily know that. We don't listen to, you know. I mean, you could listen to Keith Miller, for the San Francisco Giants. He's kind of legendary right now, I'd say.
Sure.
There's still. What are we talking about? I mean, you got Tom Brown. I mean, you got Brenneman.
Yeah.
And then you got Marty Brenneman with the Reds. He's been around forever.
Yeah.
He's still a Hawk. I mean, there's a lot of old timers still doing it.
Yeah.
But you're talking about young guys coming up and coming guys?
Yeah, I mean, you don't see that like anymore, like a young... But
Pat Foley.
Yeah.
Oh, not Pat Foley, Len Casper. He could be considered that. And he calls a pretty good game, actually.
Yeah.
And he's a Marquette guy.
That's right.
I'll give him that.
Earlier, I was saying that the Shams band will be playing this Brendan O'Connor fundraiser. We want to get the word out and get a lot of people out for that. When is that again, Bill, the date?
That's going to be Friday, October 23rd at the Carlton Hotel. I think it starts around 7 or 8.
That's right.
I got to look it up.
But anyway, we had Donnie Biggins on the program last week, and I wanted to pull up a song by the Shams. I've been a fan of theirs for a while. They are a local group, Chicago. Donnie Biggins is known for Harmonica Dunn, his event booking company, which we spoke about last week on the show. But this was the first number that I had heard by the Shams band.
Oh, hey, excuse me. I don't mean to jump in, but that benefit that they're going to be playing.
Yeah.
It's going to be at the Carlton Hotel of Oak Park. and it's Friday, October 23rd from 6 to 11 p.m.
All right.
So far on Facebook, it looks like they've got 251 people that are confirmed that say they're going.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a big crowd.
It's going to be a madhouse.
Yeah.
And you'll be able to see the Shams play that. And here is the Shams with the Des Plaines River.
We'll be right back.
And we're back. Hooli's Hooli, 1240 AM. That was the Shams Band.
I haven't heard that song in a long time.
It's a good tune, isn't it?
Yeah, it is a good song.
That's the Shams Band. That's Paul Gulias and her buddy Donnie Biggins. Is it Dave Hill who's on drums with
Doug
them?
Hill.
Doug Hill. Love those guys. Check them out. They'll be at the Brendan O'Connor fundraiser at the Carlton. Brendan is the owner of Big Guys, one of our sponsors.
Yeah.
And he's in the middle of a fight. So we all want to help him out.
Hey, during the, I don't know if this has happened to you, but I had kind of an epiphany today.
You did?
So about a week and a half ago, my car was filthy.
Yeah.
And as I actually...
Was it filled with like Skittles wrappers and Starburst?
No, I mean the outside of it.
I've been a guy with candy.
The interior of it is just a lot of work stuff.
Yeah.
So it gets kind of crowded, but the outside of it was filthy. And I don't think I had the car washed maybe in like 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
I think I went all summer without
it. Rained a lot this summer. It was good.
So, you know, I started thinking, I go, well, this is kind of unprofessional of me. I'm driving around all the time. I need to get this thing cleaned. It needs to look nice.
Yes.
And I took it to a car wash for $10.
Yeah.
And I have to say I was a little dissatisfied. I mean, it cleaned it a little bit, but you know, like, I don't know if you ever look at the wheel well of your tires, how filthy it gets in there.
Yep.
And I was like, okay, well, maybe, you know, maybe I'm probably going to have to get this washed again. And then I'm thinking in my head, I'm going, oh, well, it's been 3 months. I might just need two go-arounds, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So today I was leaving one of the stores, the accounts that I was working at, and I saw a car wash. And I went, oh, all right, yeah, this is the same one I went through the first time.
Yeah.
I'll do the $10 one again. All right, whip it through.
Yeah.
Same result. And then it dawned on me, you know, I personally think that you could probably just do it $3.
Yeah.
And do it 3 times, and it'll be cleaner than it would be if you did it once for the $10.
Yeah, probably so. Maybe so. So yeah. You got car wash logic.
I've been thinking about it like all day. And like the last week, I'm like, really, why is this so, something like this?
When we get back from the commercial break, we're going to do a couple minutes on that car wash. Okay.
Actually,
car wash go?
Car wash is a funny movie.
Yeah. I haven't had my car washed in ages. That's why I buy gray cars.
That's what I was just going to ask you. Is that why you buy gray cars? So you don't have to get them washed?
Hey, how come you get gray cars? Hey, go wash them.
Yeah, but I was like, oh, man. I don't know. So if anybody wants to call in eventually and talk to me about car washes, I'd love to have that conversation with you.
Yeah.
Hey, did you see that Daniel Craig does not want to do another Bond movie? It was in the Trib today.
Yeah, he doesn't want to do another one?
No, no way. He's done, he said.
Why not? Who cares, you know?
I guess he just...
Oh, Bond fans will care.
He does not
want to
put himself through it. He said...
It's probably very daunting on his body at a certain point, you know?
I would imagine, but I think, he said the only way he might do it is if it was for a significant chunk of money. And then I'm thinking...
Duh.
How much money are they already getting? You know, I mean, what's a significant chunk?
Yeah.
$100 million?
Well, you know, I don't know if you know this, but he did land the role from LinkedIn.
Did he? Oh, wow.
So he's been, he had a rock star profile.
Yeah.
And they were like, we got to get this guy on roids and put a Rolex watch on him.
Ah, okay.
And he'll be ready to be the new Bond.
Speaking of Bond, we had a thing at work last week.
You know, they were talking about the new Bond thing.
Why?
They were talking about getting a black guy to be Bond, and I think that's a great idea.
Oh, I saw that.
To tell you the truth.
What's his name? Idris Elba?
He'd be cool. I think he would be cool, man.
He'd be great, I think.
Yeah, that'd be a nice changeup for sure.
I think so. I couldn't agree more. But speaking of Bond, they had a thing at work last Friday.
Yeah.
Have you ever known anyone that's won a car?
No.
Won it?
No.
So they had a sales challenge at work, and... the division, obviously for the radio listening audience, I sell liquor for a living and I work for Wirtz Beverage.
Right.
And there is a division within Wirtz called the Gallo Division, the Spectrum Horizon Division, for those people who work at Wirtz to understand. But
yep.
Gallo is pretty much what they represent, the Gallo family wineries and all their products and brands.
Right.
And they did a sales initiative for like 3 months. And you had to sell, I think it was... whoever sold the highest percentage over goal qualified for this car. They were giving away a 2015 Audi.
Wow.
And it came down to like 10 guys. And the first place guy, I think he had like 164% over his sales goal. So when they did, I think there was 47 total keys.
Right.
That they put out. And, like, if you finished in first place, you got 10 keys.
Mm-hmm.
Second place, 9 keys. Third place, you know, and so on down the list. But it came down to the final 2 keys were left.
Yeah.
And this guy who had finished, I think he finished in third place. Yeah.
Yeah.
He finally opened up the lockbox.
Yes.
And the place exploded. He won the car, and they had like confetti and everything. Yeah. So afterwards, we were in a different sales meeting.
Yeah.
And we got back into the main general area where everyone's cubicles and stuff are, and everyone gets out of their sales meetings, and we're kind of commiserating at our different desks. And everyone's going, who won the car? You know, everyone's asking who won the car. Because I'm not part of the Gallo division. All the other divisions were interested in who won the car. Mm-hmm.
You win the Gallo division?
No.
Who won the car?
Yeah, like, who won the car? But a guy who works with me said to me, you know, he's like, you know, I won a car once. I said, you won a car once here, too?
Yeah, like he had a piece of gum once, too.
And
know?
He went, yeah.
No, I won a car once,
I said, well, what'd you get? And he said, well, I got a 1998 Sebring convertible.
Yeah, I remember those.
And I said, now, granted, the guy who won the car,
Chrysler.
It said all expenses covered. So taxes were included. It covered the taxes and everything on this car.
Registration, tags, everything?
Taxes. Let's just say taxes.
Okay.
But then what he did say to me, and he made an interesting point, he said, you're going to have to pay an income tax on this, though.
Oh, yeah.
Like
10.6%.
Even though the taxes were covered on it as far as the sales tax and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the year, you're going to have to report that you won.
Yeah, so if it's a $40,000 car, you're getting hit for 4 Gs.
Not bad, though. I mean, I think I'd pay the 4 Gs for a $40,000 automobile.
I'd probably sell it, too,
away. Well, that's what I was asking him. I said, well, what did you do with yours? You know, I said, he said taxes were included. He said, I thought about it. And then he said, I could have sold it, but then I would, you know, I think he said that maybe if he had sold it, he thought that the income tax might have would have been dumping more money into it rather than just keeping the car. But he said his kids fell in love with the car and he ended up keeping it. So
yeah,
I kind of found myself this week fantasizing about winning a car.
Yeah, well, I find myself fantasizing. Dude, I told you what happened to me with the little lotto where it said please see merchant.
Oh, yeah.
I thought I won, what's it called now, Lucky Day Lotto. Lucky Day.
Yeah.
They constantly changed it. It used to be Little Lotto, but I was at the mini mart at work the other day, and you have a little scanner you go up to go,
that's what I do all the time.
And
sure.
I went up to go do it, and it couldn't read it or something, and it said, please see merchant now.
Yeah.
When it says, please see merchant in the past,
right?
I've won, you know, $30 or something like that, you know.
$10, $5,
And it said, please see, and I thought, oh my God, nobody won. I won the ticket, you know?
Yeah.
And the guy goes, no, the machine's not working. I went, what? I said, do it again. He goes, the machine is not working properly. I go, no, it's guy.
Must be mistaken.
Please see merchant. That means you won, right?
Yeah.
He goes, no, it just means that the machine is not working properly. I go,
Oh,
that's what they all say.
But it does happen. No,
I ran upstairs and looked it up immediately. No,
right.
I guess not. No, I got to actually do the effort. You know what's the other thing? I buy lotto tickets sometimes.
Uh-huh.
And then don't check them or like lose them and forget about
them. Wow, are you nuts?
How pathetic is that?
Why don't you just put them like, don't you have a clasp on your wallet that you just like keep them all? That's what I do. I keep them all together. And then once I go into like the mini mart, I just like fire away.
Now that we're going to talk about your obsession with gaming and lotto and winning cars.
Speaking of lotto, if you won the lotto in Illinois.
Video poker. Maywood Park closed. Did you see that?
Yes. Yes, I did see that.
An end of an era, man. Horse racing is kind of going out, I guess. I don't know. You can't put any butts in the seats.
I have a special love for Maywood Park because, number one, they were serving me beer when I was about 18 or 19
years
old.
Yes, they
did. And we were gambling on the horses. I remember it'd be like a Friday night in like freshman year of college, and we'd go up to Maywood, and there'd be but it was like an event. We'd have like 30 or 40 kids with us.
And this was when they were putting butts in the seats. It was like pre-UFC. All right.
Yeah.
They used to be like, two chicks are going to knock the hell out of each other this Friday at Maywood Park. Come on out. And we were like, what? They got female boxing there?
Yeah.
And that got curious teenagers over there to go watch that
stuff. You know, I still think about it, you know, and I'm going, you know, but you don't think about, you know, that's harness racing.
Yeah.
And the dollar trifecta box is actually a crap. I mean, you're going to win like $25 in harness racing.
Yeah.
All the favorites always win in harness racing. Very rarely will a long shot
right.
come
it's
in.
It's like, who's going to win today? That Jackie had a heavy breakfast. I'd bet on the number four guy.
But
over
like
there.
We were, you know, young kids and not really knowing a ton about the horses, just going in there to watch it and have a good time.
Mm-hmm.
Just laughing about the money that was blown there, you know.
Yeah, Maywood
Park. But it
was
cheap to drink. I think it was like $2 a beer.
The end of an era from Maywood Park. But here's something that I feel lucky to have. It's another Phil Angotti song.
Yeah,
he played this on our last show that we had him on at Fitzgerald's.
Yeah,
he's a diehard Cub fan. So Phil, I hope you're listening. Congratulations.
And he's an Eastsider, so he's a Southside guy who grew up a Cub fan. Huh?
That's right. This song is off of his album People and Places. It's called My Old Records.
3, 4. Looking through her boxes from her past, never knew how long these treasures all would last. Here inside a room I hardly go to see if there's some things in hiding will not show. Favorite things I had since I was 10. Can't believe that everything's still here. Now save it all, my dear, at least another year.
AM, Hooli's Hooli. That was Phil Angotti doing My Old Records.
Yeah.
It's a good album. Check that out. That's on iTunes. That's People and Places off of that album. It's off the album People and Places. How about that? Congratulations to Phil Angotti, our friend and loyal Cub fan. I'm sure he's loving all of this.
Absolutely. I'm just thinking about all my Cub fans out there and the glory that they're celebrating in tonight.
Yeah. Maybe we'll get hit with some M80s on the way home.
I hope not, man. I hope not. Yeah, because we are up on the north side. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like it's going to be civilized. But it's a work day, you know, but that hasn't stopped anybody before. Not in Chi-Town, at least.
No.
You know what I'm doing next Friday? I'm heading to Boston. First time ever.
First time in Beantown, eh?
That's
I've never
right.
been there.
I'm excited about it. I'm going for a work thing, but hopefully I can sneak out and check out some of the sites.
Well, wait, next Friday, you'll be at our cousin Nora's wedding, won't you?
Right after the wedding, flying right to Boston. So, well, so I'm leaving at 6:30 Saturday morning. So
No yeah. party time for you.
No. Congratulations, Nora, by the way.
Yeah. Hey, how about a shout out to my Uncle Paul Houlihan, huh? We were at...
That's right. We went to Uncle Paul's birthday party
80
last
years
week.
Old for old Paulie boy, yeah. Huh?
First time I've seen him in a long time.
Yeah, it was great to see everybody and see all my cousins.
You know what's weird about that is that I do get sentimental about that, and it's not something that I never used to at family parties, but the older your relatives get at a certain point, you know, like, I don't remember Uncle Paul being that. He's old now, you know?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden I'm like, man, I'm old now, you know? He turned to me and he goes, how old are you? You know, I go, I'm 35. He goes, oh, he's 35, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
But he acted like it was a thing, but... I did get kind of sentimental about, you know, I hope it's, you know, you start cherishing things like this might be the last times we have together. Let's make a day of it, you know?
Yeah.
Not that he's sick or anything like
No, it was great.
It is nice when you get everybody together like that. And it was fun. We went over to our cousin Kim's house. And,
yeah, the Rooneys.
The Rooneys were all out there. Yeah, it was fun.
It's a good time.
It's my first time in Inverness.
Really?
Yeah, I haven't been out there. I remember Pat Hurley, our buddy, grew up out there.
Yeah, I was out there a couple times at his house.
Nice area.
Beautiful.
Couldn't get away with the stuff in Inverness what we got away with in our neighborhood growing up, probably, though. It's all subdivisions and things of that nature. It seemed like a different world, you know?
Well, we were kind of more city boy.
Mm-hmm. City boy?
City boy.
I guess I don't think people in Inverness consider themselves country folk by
any
means.
No, they're not. They're not. But, you know, I mean.
But we do.
There was more.
Like anything like north of Milwaukee Avenue or something like that is like, where are you from? You know?
Well, no, it was, you know what I mean? Like, there was more of an urban feel to on a Friday or Saturday night. I mean, these kids are probably just going and drinking beer in people's backyards and stuff. Yeah. We were crossing busy streets to get to, you know, Cook County Forest Preserves, you know, which are absolutely dangerous. That, you know, you're thinking about, you know, I drove by the Dan Ryan Woods and because I drive up and down 87th Street and I drove by.
Like, God, I miss drinking in there.
No, I just drove.
Dang it.
I just drove by the Dan Ryan Woods and I'm going to think of the trust that my parents had, you know, and even the, you know, the kids are growing up in Beverly and we grew up in River Forest and we were going over to, you know, over near Polk Brothers and Evans Field and stuff like that. And those,
yeah.
You know, in the Cook County Forest Preserve, that is, you know, it's like to think that if I have children someday and they're going to be trying to do that kind of stuff is terrifying to me.
They will. There's nothing you can do about it.
No,
you
know? I know.
Speaking of which, you know, like, you know, just because your kids, like my Charlotte is always wearing temporary tattoos. She loves that. You know?
Oh, no.
Which is an inclination that there could be somebody with tattoos in the family.
Oh, no.
For the first time.
Yeah. Sorry.
Not that there's anything wrong with that. Seinfeld.
Yeah. Why did you say, well, what kind of ink do you like, Charlotte? What is she into?
I don't know. Well, hopefully the tattoo that she does decide to get, if she ever gets one. No, I would not condone this because I don't have many tattoos. But
you don't have any. I don't either. No. Do I? Yeah.
Got a couple freckles that are pretty hardcore, but no tats.
A birthmark on the back of my head. Yeah.
Yeah. Strawberry birthmark.
Yeah.
Reverse Gorby. But yeah, no. What kind of tattoos are they?
Yeah.
You know, they're like princesses and things like
that.
Oh, okay. You know,
I guess. All right.
Now, that would be disappointing if all of a sudden she was like, hey, I got, you know,
have
Ariel
you seen that?
From Little Mermaid.
Have you seen that henna that people do?
Yeah.
It's like the stencil, and it's like a four-day tattoo.
Yeah. See, now that's something that, like, women can get away with, you know? But if, like, if I went to my, you know, my Wonder Years desk job that, you know, my real job.
Yeah.
If I went there, like, what if you showed up with, like, a Sipowicz dress shirt on, you know, like one of those short sleeve dress shirts, and just, like, all henned up? Like, all your arms are henned up, your neck's henned up, and you just have, like, a nice Ivy League haircut and show up, and people are like, what's up? Like, yeah, dude, I got henned for the week.
They can't say anything. They can be like, you're fired like for your henna.
No, but it's, like, acceptable. Like, women can get away with that, but, like, a guy who shows up, like, hey, I think I'll go home tomorrow and just henna out and show up tomorrow double sleeved, you know?
Yeah.
That's going to be my next work stunt. Hennaed.
Just getting hennaed?
Yeah, totally hennaed.
Hey, did you get drunk this weekend? No, I got all hennaed up.
Check it out.
Yeah.
I wore my underwear to work today for the very reason. Check out these henna legs.
You think people will be doing Cubs, like baby blue, like the Cubs royal blue and red henna all over with like Cubs logos? like we were talking about at the beginning of the show.
Where did this conversation go?
I don't know.
What's
I think
going
it just on? You're
at, left now field. You're just going down wormholes that just make no sense.
I know.
You know, the people at McCann's Irish Oatmeal will love to hear this show because we played a lot of great music and kind of riffed and talked about the Cubs. So I do want to remind everybody that our presenting sponsor is McCann's Irish Oatmeal. That's available at your local supermarket.
That's right.
It's at the Jewel.
How did you eat it? Just did you put a little sugar in there?
I cooked it and ate it. No, I made the instant one. It was good. They come with like flavors. You can get like apple cinnamon or brown sugar flavor, brown sugar maple. Brown sugar maple.
Okay.
Yeah, they got that. That's good stuff. You know what? Our buddy Matthew Francis Anderson just kind of going back and playing tunes for everybody. I said I was going to play this one earlier tonight and revisit this one.
Yeah.
He was a local supporter at Fitzgerald's of us, and he's still a pal of our show. His album, Blue Line, is out. You can find more of that at www.MatthewFrancisAnderson. That's Anderson with an E-N.com. This is track 6 off of that album. It's called The Catalyst.
I was behind her in a drugstore outside of Prairie Duchesne. She was buying herself some vodka to go with her lemonade. She had a panther on her shoulder, go-go boots that made her hip. A 1950s hairdo and an earring in her lip. And from the road I saw a farmhouse burn into the ground. But in her eyes I've seen the catalyst that turns this world around. Tribe of all her people, and they hang out in the street. And each one shares a needle, and they call themselves freaks. You better watch out after sundown for the alleyways she haunts. I seen her belt the jock with a trash can lid and whip his debutante. And from the road I saw a farmhouse burn into the ground. But in her eyes I've seen the catalyst that turns this world around. Well, today around 11, the Wisconsin Music Fest, she took the stage with her band. She wore panties and a vest. Well, they played and screamed and kicked and yelled, and each song went twice as fast. She passed out in the second row, and that song would be her last. And from the road I saw a farmhouse burn into the ground. But in her eyes I've seen the catalyst that turns this world around. From the road I saw a farmhouse burn into the ground. But in her eyes I've seen the catalyst that turns this world around. In her eyes I've seen the catalyst that turns this world around.
Matthew Francis Anderson,
all right,
doing The Catalyst. He's been on our program. That's off of Blue Line. Like that one a lot.
He's been on the show twice, I believe,
Yep. So you can check more of Matthew Francis Anderson out at MatthewFrancisAndersonSEN.com. Check that out. Heading towards the end of the show, want to remind everybody and thank our presenting sponsor, McCann's Irish Oatmeal, for making this possible.
Uh-huh.
Mike, thank you. Congrats to the Cubs again. Excited about that. Hopefully we can keep talking about that, keep that going on.
Absolutely.
Want to give another shout out to Michelle McInerney, who hit us up today. She wanted to give us her friend's band a plug. This is New Secret Weapon. We'll be at the Elbow Room tonight at 9 p.m. I couldn't find much, dig up much at the last minute here of them to play, but if you're a fan of Analog, you will like them because Steve Albini has worked with them just recently, and that's New Secret Weapon. You can see them at the Elbow Room tonight at 9, so check that out. Bill, any other last words you want to say before we part till next week?
No. Have a great weekend. Thanks for listening to the Hooli's Hooli.
I will, and I wish you all the best. Until next week, this has been the Hooli's Hooli. Thank you.